Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
Hey, I'm Mark, I'm Aubrey Citizen.
Oh, you didn't know that we had a guest on this week.
Oh, you didn't know?
Aubrey is a friend of ours. Let's talk about your credits, Aubrey. Let's introduce you as a person. First off, Big Burt Reynolds fan.
Big Burt Reynolds fan.
Humongous, don't believe me, check my jeans right now. Humongous Burt Reynolds fan. Also a writer. I'm super excited because this past week I had my first big graphic novel come out. I had some smaller stuff, but my first graphic novel came out this week. It's called Worth. It's from the folks. It's from, you'll appreciate this. It's produced by Roddenberry Entertainment.
Oh, there you go.
Of course.
We just had an extensive conversation.
The name
about
that
Star
brought
Trek.
You Star Trek.
Exactly.
It says it on the book.
It says it on the book.
And it's published by Arcana Press. It's a comic book. It's art by Chris Moreno. It's called Worth. I'm super excited about it. It's available in finer comic shops and Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Roddenberry Shop. The shop owned by the name that brought you Star Trek.
The shop. That brought you started. I highly recommend it. It's very good, and you can check it out on Amazon and everything, right?
It's on Amazon, and also there's digital versions on Comixology.com if you prefer that.
If you prefer the digital, the future of comics.
Yes.
I don't know. That seems a little bold to me.
But you're also a huge wrestling fan.
A wrestling fan, I am. Uh-huh. I do a weekly, a little bit. Actually, it's twice weekly. What's the name for that?
Bi-weekly.
I thought that meant every other week.
I think it means both. You can have either.
It's like
or.
Inflammable. Inflammable.
Okay.
Inflammable means flammable.
You are blowing my mind.
You're blowing me right now. I did a show called Straight Shoot. It's on YouTube. It's also a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic, all that great stuff. But it's, you know, after Raw every week, I have different guests on. We talk about Raw, and we also do a weekly retro one. But here's what's really exciting, folks. This Monday, which is today. If you're listening to this the day it came out, it's today.
It's today, guys.
That's blowing my mind right now. April 7th, 2014. Keep it together, Josh. Josh and Dom are going to be showing up on Straight Shoot right after Raw, which is the Raw after WrestleMania 30. Which is super exciting, because don't interrupt me. That's when all the super crazy, exciting stuff happens. The Raw after Mania. It's going to be bonkers.
It is going to be an awesome WrestleMania. I think it's really funny that we're talking about it right now, because I'm super excited for it. Because I think it's going to be a really great WrestleMania. Josh, when's the last time you watched some wrestling? Let's be honest.
When I was at Luke's. Who the fuck is Luke? Our buddy Luke.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm wondering, I feel like the audience is wondering.
It's a good question to bring up.
Our buddy Luke Brown, he goes away on like 8 vacations a year, and I watch his house and his cat, and every time I do...
Where was he on vacation the most recent time?
Like Italy or something?
Did he go to some snow-covered cabin?
Oh, yeah. No, he went to fucking like the Poconos, and he went to like a sex shack, like a place,
what?
Like a hotel.
That's
with a...
That's right. It had like a jacuzzi inside,
yeah, like
right?
The heart-shaped tub and shit like that. Yeah.
Did he take someone with him?
His wife.
His wife.
Okay. All right.
He just went to go there to go
awesome
masturbate in a different
alone
setting.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Some guys need a little extra help.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do.
To master.
Yeah.
As I call it.
So you were watching Luke's house.
Yeah, it's always interesting because WrestleMania is always around my birthday. I remember when I was 9, I rented WrestleMania 9, and it was in Las Vegas. And I got all swole and jacked up on WrestleMania when I was 9 years old and wrestled my friends.
Maximus, right?
Was he the announcer?
Yeah, Howard Finkel.
Yeah.
Everybody had their Roman name at that one.
Yeah.
Josh, what was the main event at that?
I think it was Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna.
Well, it was... If I may.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing about Aubrey. Aubrey, if you talk to Aubrey for like 20 minutes about wrestling, you will be stoked on wrestling.
It was Bret Hart and Yoko.
Okay, okay.
And then Yoko won, and then Hulk Hogan came back.
That's
He'd been off filming like Thunder in Paradise.
That's
He came back, dropped the big leg, said, "Fuck you, you Canadian greasy hair vanilla midget motherfucker. I'm taking the title back. Do something."
So wait, how did that match go? So Bret Hart beats Yokozuna?
No. Yoko beat Bret.
And then Hulk Hogan
comes out and says, "Don't worry, Bret, I'll take care of this."
Right.
Gets the title himself. Yep. Like a boss.
Like a boss.
Yeah, we'll be appearing on Straight Shoot later today if you're listening to this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And you should tune in. It's a live show. You can submit your comments. And we're going to be talking about that night's Raw episode. So watch Raw. Tune into Straight Shoot with Aubrey Sitterson and the two of us. And we're going to have some fun. But Josh, I want to know what you did this week.
I just watched a lot of Star Trek for Syndication Station, our other podcast.
Yes, and, we did. The Defector, season 3, episode 10. Great episode. Check it out.
While I did that, I just drank hot sauce out of a bottle.
Did you?
What type of hot sauce?
Just some shitty like store brand crap. Like Acme brand or whatever, or Giant brand. Nobody knows what Acme is. I'm localizing
like
myself.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, we have supermarkets around here called Acme, which is ridiculous.
I forgot that we have that and Pathmark back home.
Pathmark is Pathmark.
I'm too used to Vons and Ralph's.
Ralph's.
I shop at a guy.
The font's really similar at those. Have you noticed that?
There's Vons and then there's a John's,
those,
which is
the
a
font
knockoff.
Of those looks exactly similar.
Yeah,
it looks. It looks like actionable.
Yeah, it's like you go in there and you might see like a tumbleweed blow through. It's a weird place.
Yeah, it's kind of how
Pathmark tumbleweeds is. Out. I feel like it'd be less weird if they got those tumbleweeds.
Probably.
Out.
Probably. It would be a little less Western. So.
You want to buy some tumbleweeds, though. You're at your place.
That's the place.
There's so you
place.
Just drank hot sauce and watched Star Trek?
I mean, I like put it on stuff. I've been putting it on everything. Like, I'm addicted to it.
What's the weirdest thing you've put it on?
I just put it on like bread and I just eat it.
I've got something for you to put it on.
What is it?
It's my dick.
Oh!
All right.
Oh! Pew, 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 pew. But what did you do, Aubrey?
Well, I tried to go see a really good indie wrestling show.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, there's this thing called PWG. It stands for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They do shows out in the Valley. We live in Los Angeles, everybody.
Los Angeles!
They do shows out in the Valley. And, oh, man, I was so stoked. I was so excited. I love going to these shows. It's like every, like, 6 or 8 weeks or so, they put one on. And my friend Dominic, maybe you've met him, he was like, "Oh man, I'd love to go to one of your shows with you."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Yeah, sure, man. Let's do it. Do you mind driving? Because you know people drink a lot there, and I like to drink, and I just wanted to be able to drink as much
as possible
I felt was necessary.
Yeah,
a lot, and not have to worry about getting home."
And you had how many beers?
Well, let's get to that in a minute. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You're like the Wade Boggs of drinking.
Here's something else I like to do when I go to these PWG shows because they're long. They're like 4 or 4.5 hours long. I like to bring like. An edible for my anxiety.
Uh-huh.
I have a card. It's legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bring a brownie or something. And I asked Dominic, I was like, "Would you like to share this for your anxiety as well?" Because Dominic also has.
I have anxiety.
He also has anxiety. We're anxious. And he said, "Yeah, sure." Because the way it works, Josh, mm-hmm. you eat it, and then like 4.5 hours later, it's worn off, and you just go home.
That's right. Right.
It times out perfectly. And so, you know, we ate it while we were standing in line and having a good time, right? Dom?
Yeah, having a good time.
Having a pretty good time. We went in. We, you know, I got a pitcher of beer. Me, Dom, and my friend Johnny, we each had a beer.
Uh-huh.
Not a beer.
Pitcher. It was delicious. It was good. Just mellowing out, watching this, watch two wrestling matches. Two wrestling matches. you know, I noticed something was up because at a certain point, you know, we were sitting where people would like flip out of the ring.
We were sitting in the second row. Yeah,
we're in the splash zone.
Yeah,
and I noticed at a certain point that everybody else had stood up to get out of the way because somebody was clearly going to jump out of the ring. And Dom was still just sitting in his chair clutching his beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I said, bro, get up. Move. Move that ass. And he did, reluctantly. And then we finished the second wrestling match, and Dom said to me, hey, man, I got to go.
Yeah.
And I said, what? I was like, well, do you need something to drink? He said, no. I was like, do you need like a Coke or something? We can get some water. He says, no, I gotta go outside. I was like, oh, you just need some air? He's like, no, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I got to go home. Yeah. What was going on in that brain of yours?
I don't even want to talk about it. I was having the worst trip of my life.
Yeah, man.
You want to, here's what I deduced by the end of it. I'm the worst person.
Yep.
I'll never be a good person.
Dom, that's every time I smoke weed.
When I smoke, it's a great time. I'm loving everything. I was just going out of my brain because I just ate. I'm 165 pounds, and I ate a hefty piece of edible, and I saw Aubrey eat it, and I was like, well, Aubrey's eating this. It'll be okay to eat. You know, he's
350 pounds.
He's a 350 pound man. No, Aubrey's a smaller guy than I am, but I guess I'm thinner.
You're thinner. I'm a bulkier guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a shorter guy, but a bulkier guy.
So Aubrey ate more than I did. As soon as I stood up, it was like, up, it is time to go.
Yeah.
So we went outside, and Dom immediately started having some irping issues. And
Aubrey goes, be cool, man. And I was like, and I go,
that helps.
I wish you would have. I wish you would have been cool.
Hey, man, for a minute, I held it. Yeah, I was like, all right, I got to chill.
It just long enough to get off of the property of the American Foreign Legion where we were seeing this show, and then booted. And then just booted. And just barfed right on the street. And I don't even get how we had one beer.
No, it was the edible, man.
Yeah.
I had too much. My body was like, you need to get rid of this because you're going to go insane.
Yeah. You're going to go insane.
When we went outside, I was thinking maybe we could get some fresh air, walk and get some water, and then go back in and go to the show. But Dom was barfing, and then this guy, Legion Larry, who's like a legionnaire who works there.
Is he a wrestler or just a guy that works there?
He's just like an old crusty bastard who works there. Uh-huh. He's just, like, he makes himself part of the show. He's into the gimmick and everything. He came around the corner and was like, hey, what are you doing? And so I had to be like, oh, no, we're fine. We're getting out of here. We're leaving.
I believe your language was, he had too much.
Yeah, I just wanted him to think that you were like pounded beers or whatever. And so then we walked to a CVS, closed, could not get anything in the CVS, and then I had to drive Dominic home, missed the wrestling show.
Well, I got your next ticket to the next one.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's cool.
Hey,
listen,
man, it could be front row if you wanted to.
That would be dope. Listen, yeah. I was mad, but I'm not mad at you, because, like, you know, like, it'd be one thing if you were just freaking out in your brain, because I talked to Queenie, my wife, about this. I was like, you know, if you were just freaking out in your brain, I would have, like, bullied you into staying.
No, yeah, I would have been able to stay. But if
it's your body revolting against you, mm-hmm. that's, like, a different thing.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Thanks for understanding, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I get it.
And that's why we're friends, guys.
Because one of us can't handle his shit, and the other one's kind of okay with it. Just, like, marginally okay with it.
Marginally. All right. You know what? I bet the next one's going to be pretty good.
I hope
Something
so.
Tells me.
Something so. Tells me.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let us get into some fantasy. Some stories
ow,
of
ow.
Witches and jailbreaks.
Tonight is going to be a jailbreak.
Music provided by Boomers.
All right, you ready for my story?
Oh, yes.
Do it.
All right, it's called Foursome Prison Blues.
I like it already.
That's a Johnny Cash song, I think. Deep in the cumhole of Darinos lies a correctional facility so wicked and gnarly that the warden officially referred to it as an erection facility. This place makes Sing Sing look like Sang Sang and Eastern State look like Queefstern State.
What is Sing Sing?
Fuck those prisons. So I'm with you. Keep going.
It's an old prison. This place was as hard and as gross as old toenails and just as smelly. The jail mainly housed the dark, accursed, evil banshee witches of Darinos, a brood of dark magic users. If evil were measured in bra size, they'd easily be some big old sweaty hangers, like 32 double H's.
32 double H?
Yeah. I'll send you some links. The prison resided on an island in the middle of an acid lake surrounded by mountains made out of broken glass.
Damn.
The prison itself, an old castle whose previous owners were way too into S&M, was also made from the bones of Daranos's most vile criminals, like Jack the Evil Monk, Katz Johnson, the only man to ever kill someone with an endless crumping spell, Gravy Lips the Knoll, Serial Leg Humper, and Jack McGovern, chronic user of the most illegal sexual position in the world, the Santa Fe Mustard Hammock.
Cold-blooded.
What is the Santa Fe Mustard Hammock?
I'll show you someday.
I hope not.
I hope so.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do.
This is the rest of the show.
I'm not backing down. Accept it.
Okay.
All I know is, said Helena Satanmeyer, an incarcerated banshee, all I know is we gotta get the shit out of this place. Yeah, but how are we supposed to do that, said Katrina Broomrider, street name Big K. There are magical spells all over the damn place. I walked into the kitchen the other day when all the brooms were dance cleaning the dishes, and the magic alarm went off because I was supposed to be in the bathroom where all the brooms were dance cleaning the toilets. Inside of the darkened dungeon chained to the walls were two of the most evil banshees Daranos had ever had the displeasure of queefing out. Their sentence was 25 to infinity because banshees never die and they never get out on good behavior. Their crime? Disturbing the peace, and sex murder.
Oh, fuck.
Whoa!
It's how I want to go.
That's how you want to go?
I figure it's the only way if you have to go.
Yeah.
Get fucked by a ghost to death.
Well, stay tuned. I have an idea, said Helena. First we... and then we...
What did they say?
I didn't hear it. Josh, could you say those parts?
Ah, sorry. It must be something with the podcast problems. Anyway. The next day, the two dark witches were doing their daily wench tasks when Warden Orkstrong came strutting by doing his daily prison inspection. Warden Orkstrong was a strong orc who was also the warden. Look alive there, witch. This isn't flower camp, boomed the warden as he ate a huge-ass turkey leg. The witches kept their eyes on their toil as the warden passed them by. In his other hand, a one-handed mace with the orc phrase for meat pounder on it.
Nice.
He walked up a set of old wooden stairs into his chambers. Banshees were in cages hanging from the ceiling. Some of them were in stockades made out of pain wood, a wood so splintery and thorny, they actually named it pain wood.
Fuck.
I think I've moved pain wood before, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like old ranch wood or something where you pick it up.
I'm pretty sure my parents' rake at home is made of
pain wood.
Pain wood.
It's actually what I call my dick.
Damn. I'm going to suck some hot sauce off of that sucker.
Do something.
I'm ready.
That part was even live. That's a reference nobody gets.
It just seems awful to put hot sauce on a pain wooded dick.
Yeah, you'd think, but you never know. Orcs were whipping banshees with whips made from the hair of other banshees. All the banshees continued to clean and sweep, and one of them, I think, was carving a shiv out of a dagger. Why would you do that?
How did you get that dagger?
Why would you? Yeah, I don't know. Now's our chance, Helena said to Big K. Helena quickly scurried up the steps, but as she got to the top, two orc guards angrily clanged their axes together, blocking her way. Now, boys, I just need to have a little old discussion with the warden, she said as she slyly shoved her breast meat in their general direction. Damn. One of the guards took a long peek and his eyes immediately exploded inside of his skull. The second guard raised his axe in an attempt to...
Does that count as sex murder?
I mean, it's like a lower... It's like sex manslaughter.
Sex pre-ejaculation.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Those are some 32... Double H hangers.
Yeah, man.
Try and look at them.
Try it.
That's a dope tumbler.
Try not. 32 double H hangers. Yeah. Hold on. Pause the podcast. I got to go to Tumblr.
Yeah, hold on. We're going to take a quick break.
Hold on. The second guard raised his axe in an attempt to strike, but also took a long, hard peek at Helena the Banshee's ghostly yams. His eyes bugged so hard out of his head that they popped one by one onto the ground. When they hit the floor, they again looked up at her sweet tit meat, and even though his eyes were no longer in his head, the orc still got a raging hard on.
Well, he got that underboob.
Yeah, oh, which is fucking sweet, dude. Helena pushed him out of the way and entered the warden's chamber. "What are you doing here, witch? This isn't tea party camp," he yelled as he took another bite out of his giant turkey leg. "Well, now, warden, I think it's time this place was under new management. Guards, get in here," the warden yelled, but it was too late. Helena began to strip to every Buck Cherry song ever recorded simultaneously. The warden was paralyzed by his raging orc bone. "Now, ladies," Helena screamed. As she did, every one of the jailed ghostly witches started stripping and twerking so damn hard that their chains fell off. The banshee who was making that shiv stabbed an orc guard right in the damn leg, then crawled on top of him and started sexing his seven wieners off.
Seven wieners?
Yeah, man, he's got a lot of wieners.
I like that this is not the first or second time that people have, like, a number of people have stripped in your store.
I just put it in all the time.
I like it.
The orcs were helpless. Three banshees put a spell on themselves, which duplicated their likeness, and then had an 11 way with two guards who jizzed so hard they fell into a sex coma and died. Their families would never know how awesome their death truly was.
Yeah. Was that sex murder?
That was sex murder. That's total sex. That's TB sex murder textbook. Throw the book at him. One orc was giving it to a banshee from behind while he was on fire. He did not care.
That's how you know you're having a good orc.
Yeah. Banshees were having all kinds of crazy hot orc sex. So much so, the old castle started to smell like an old smokehouse and gravy. That's the grossest thing I've ever written.
It's pretty gross, but there's a little bit of heart in there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of truth, too. "Now, warden," Helena said. "Now watch this banshee turn into a bangshee."
Damn!
And then she started to strip the warden buck-ass naked with her mind. The warden was helpless. They started banging on the table, on the ceiling, on top of the warden's really cool fish tank, and finally on the underside of the table as Helena flipped it over, hovered it in the air as the warden plowed her from behind and used an oar from a boat to paddle them around the room while they boned.
That is fucking righteous is what that is.
I'll never be that cool.
That's not true.
Nobody's gonna argue with you, Job.
It's true.
The way you say things like that, like, I don't know, like, you expect us to lie to you?
Yeah,
it's just never gonna happen.
Yeah, banshees are nasty as filthy, dirty fuck. The warden jade 7 times in under 30 seconds. He, along with the rest of the orcs in the prison, were so dehydrated by the end of the bone sesh that the ones who didn't explode from all the cool sex looked like old shriveled men. Some of them jizzed so much that they turned into dust while their skeletons still were trying to get it on Freak Nasty style with the banshees. They, too, did not care. "Warden, your entire castle now belongs to us," Helena said. As she spoke, the warden jizzed an 8th and final time and then exploded. As the skeleton lay there with a smile on its face, a pit to hell opened up and crazy black ghost hands pulled it down into the pits of orc heck. As he was being sucked down, he held his skeleton hand up and gave a thumbs up and said, "Totally worth it," as the pit took him under, never to be seen again. Or was he? Helena grabbed his turkey leg and bit down. The banshees had done it. They earned their freedom the only way they knew how, by fucking the ever-living man-chowder out of anyone who dared get in their way. From that day,
man-chowder.
Gross.
From that day forward, the prison would be haunted by the banshees and cursed with the ghosts of trillions of orc sperm and the stench of gravy. It was on that day that orcs learned one important lesson. Sex rules. Thin.
Damn. That is an important lesson. Also, this story was real funny and sexy, and then it got really dark and real when the hands took them away.
I kept thinking, how much this prison is like Disneyland,
yeah,
with all the turkey legs and sex murder.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Pirates of the Caribbean sex ride. Murder. Yeah. It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, but more sexy, if that's possible. Yeah.
But like 2 times more ghosts.
Yeah. Two and a half times.
Two times more Johnny Depp popping out of things.
That's weird. Have you seen the updated Pirates of the Caribbean, Josh?
No.
It's cool, besides Johnny Depp popping
out. He's everywhere.
The last time I was there was like 2001.
Every 20 seconds, he's popping out of a barrel. It's the goddamn worst.
Man. Fantasy fiction, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. Ridiculous.
That was a great story,
Ridiculous.
Josh.
Thank you.
Bam, bam, bam.
Clacklon, clacklon, clacklon.
All right, nerds. Are y'all ready for the tale so bodacious that it had to be called The Fall of Megatool? That's a question. That wasn't rhetorical.
Oh. Yes?
I don't know if I am. What? It's bodacious?
It's fucking bodacious, man. Josh, are you ready? Dobbs clearly not.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's
do
it
ready.
Then. Fuck it. Hundreds of years ago, Air Derinos towered over the plains, and long before Battlekeg's ill-fated experimentation with symphonic power ant metal.
Whoa.
Damn.
You remember that?
That's some canon.
That was a good time.
Canon, bro. Get in there. There was a wondrous island where the population was made up of cool dudes and loose moods and bitchin' broads who knew that the term broad wasn't a demeaning pejorative, but rather a gendered vocative noun that implies familiarity without sexualization.
Nice.
Not that these bitchin' broads weren't sexy, though. They were sexy as shit, man! And best of all, Poundtown wasn't just the name of the island's capital city. It was a metaphorical location to which they were always ready to go. Not as a way of validating themselves, but it's an honest expression of their liberated sexuality. Plus, the cool dudes in loose moods were totally buff and sexy, with lats you could build a moderately sized bungalow on.
Damn.
Also, really great listeners.
I kind of want to hang out with these guys.
I kind of want to fuck one of these guys.
They're very sex positive on this island, which is...
Yeah, man, it's Megatool.
Yeah.
The island's name was Megatool, and its inhabitants embodied the land's sacred words, getting laid and getting paid. And on the rare occasions that a Megatoolian was neither getting laid nor getting paid, he or she was getting super atomic high on the most dank-dizank, diggity-dank, digglers, dank-dank-dizanksters, wizard weed known to man.
Fuck, man!
Goddamn, I want to go there right now!
I need to go!
So dank-dizank, diggity-dank, digglers, dank-dank-dizankathon-tastic that one time... After the mayor of Poundtown hotboxed the Senate, they voted unanimously to cease the worship of the volcano Steve.
Damn! You know what's blowing my mind right now? Politics.
That motherfucker hotboxed the Senate, son!
Senate.
What are you gonna do?
Oh, man.
With absolute dank-tastic nature, the dank-diggity-dizank-donk, diggity-dizank-dankrophalocradulistic expialidocious nature of Megatoolian wizard weed, the specifics of Stevian volcano worship were soon lost to history. Aww. As the inhabitants of Poundtown continued their ever-broadening exploration of the outer reaches of bodaciousness.
Damn. They are exploring their minds and shit.
They're blowing their minds.
This is the best writing you've ever heard on this show.
This is very blowing true. Something.
This is like what a real writer does.
Outside of Stevian volcano worship, the only crime on Megathul was failure to party hardy. And as such, the crime rate was nearly non-existent. But for those who ran afoul of Megathulian law, there was the Megathulian Reeducation Center. There, inmates were guided through all the most badass ways to party hardy, like snapping on a lighter to make it work, then pretending it's magic, balancing a pint of mead on your schlong, and creating a perpetual token machine, which is when you exhale the most diggity dank a dong diddly dizzy dirk dank diggity doodah dank dank dizankster wizard weed from your nose, then pull it back in through your mouth and repeat until you see God's taint.
Wow!
You know what my favorite part about that is? The doodah.
The doodah.
It's crucial. It's crucial.
Yeah.
I'd say it's canon.
It's canon.
It's canon.
Damn, he's got it. He's on the
hit it with
a
stamp, baby.
Yep.
But deep within the darkest bowels of the Megatoolian Reeducation Center sat a grouchy bard with no desire to snap a lighter and lacking the turgitude to balance even a shot of gnome juice on his Johnson. Worst of all, the bard refused to hit the wizard weed, even when it was super diggity dong dizank danconia dirk danktown diggity corner dankershim and dank set diggity dank.
when he did, he always made like he wasn't feeling it, thinking that somehow made him better than everybody else, when really it made him dry and boring and everyone else self-conscious, which is how he got thrown into jail in the first place. Yeah. He was a lousy bard and an even worse bro, and his name was Daryl.
Daryl?
Fucking Daryl.
Daryl!
Oh, my God.
While seated on his conspicuously made bed and conspicuously making zero use of his state-issued mead helmet, Daryl worked diligently on the lamest song imaginable, all about taking care of your body and the plight of the minotaurs of Eastern Harklocks.
Oh, God.
Boring.
Right? As he tweaked a line that reminded the listener that minotaurs have mothers, too. Ugh. His cell filled with smoke, which, while not as diggity-dank-dong-dizank-duper-dank, as the island's finest wizard being, was still diggity-dank-dookie-houser-dank-dank-ding-dong-dookie-dank-do enough to set Daryl's pristine little lungs a-wheezing. Cough to get off, bro. A friendly voice rang out from the smoke.
But, is this, real quick, is this taking place in Derrynos?
What? No, this was Air Derrynos. I kind of wish you would pay attention.
No, I'm paying attention.
Air Derrynos towered over the plains.
Yeah.
Damn. So here's the thing. You created a land. You're the first person on the show to create your own land.
Well, I just didn't want to. I didn't want to fuck
happy.
Up. I didn't want to fuck up your canon.
Hey,
I didn't want to.
No, this is canon.
Like,
this is beautiful.
Well, that's why I kind of wanted to set it separate enough that it'll make sense.
All right. Oh, it's making sense,
you're like,
baby.
You're like where this is going.
It's making sense to my heart.
Cough to get off, bro. A friendly voice rang out from the smoke. But before Daryl could fully finish coughing or start getting offing, a Megathulian witch stumbled out of the smoke. She was built like a brick shithouse. Nice. As her eyes glazed over from the receding diggity dankadoo dirk dank diggler wizardweed smoke, you could tell that she was both a maenad in the streets and in the street. Fuck. In the sheets. Fuck it. I got caught up.
That was good.
No. You can repeat that line.
I don't want to repeat it. Nope. Keep it in.
Nope. Keep it in.
You ain't fixing any of my shit in post. God damn it.
He's right. I won't be able to.
Now it's too late. Now we can.
Who are you? Stammered Daryl. In response, the witch pinched Daryl's nipple hard enough to draw blood, laughed, and said, I'm Hagatha, bitch. She then pretended to ride an imaginary wolf steed and added, let's ride.
This world is awesome.
Yes,
Megathul,
it
baby.
Is.
It's on 10 right now.
Megathul. Yep. Daryl protested, indicating that he still had the bridge of Eastern Harklock's Minotaur Blues to finish. But Hagatha quickly pinched his other nipple. Finish lactating and then we're getting out of here. Everyone knows that minotaurs were just as awful to the centaurs when they ran Eastern Harklocks. Social commentary.
I think we all remember those times.
It is canon, by the way.
It is.
Trying to stem the steady stream of blood trickling from his tweaked nipples.
His nipples are bleeding.
Both of them.
Damn. She pinched them that hard, man.
Hagatha. I'm fucking around. Daryl watched as Hagatha peeked through the bars to his cell. She then stepped back, quickly unbuttoned her robe and flashed the bars, keeping them locked inside. The bars let out a breathy sigh that Daryl could have sworn said, damn titty. Then spread like one of those slut bitch centaurs who totally wants a minotaur to just give it to him.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Listen, man, canon. as Daryl complained about needing exactly 8 hours of sleep, Hagatha dragged him into the guard's bathroom. Luckily, all the guards were at their hourly bong rip competition. Dom, do you know who won?
Daryl?
Everyone won. Everyone won. It's a bong rip competition. Hagatha then pushed Daryl into a stall made completely of glory holes, where they sat at a toilet in the midst of what looked like some bullshit modern art. Hagatha told Daryl to stare at the colors and wait for it, but Daryl wouldn't just, like, fucking relax, man, and started asking all these Bush League questions like, what's the point of this? Don't you have to work tomorrow? And have you seen that Ken Burns documentary about kobold poaching? So Hagatha flicked him in the junk, saying, that's more action than your little baby dick has gotten in years, I bet.
Yeah.
She then told Daryl to let his eyes relax, staring just beyond instead of at the floor.
Nice.
It was at that moment Daryl realized that the toilet wasn't just sitting in the midst of some bullshit modern art. It was sitting in the midst of some bullshit modern art that was also a magic eye drawing.
Damn!
Yeah.
this story just went next level.
You know, I can't see those because I'm blind in my one eye. So,
oh, man, why you got to bring the fucking mood down?
You know, I used to be able to see those, but I recently was told that I have a stigma in my other eye, so I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know if I was ever really all that well. It is getting really real. I don't know if I was ever really all that good.
Did you guys do Puzz 3Ds, like the Empire State Building?
I wish. No, I always wanted to.
I was too busy getting laid.
Yeah, dude.
When you were 10?
We were doing that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking just nuts deep.
All right.
Get at me. As Daryl stared, his jaw hanging open and the head of his little baby dick throbbing, he saw a pentagram rise up out of the floor, made of lines that looked simultaneously like three-headed axes, one-headed cocks, and bonked with like four different ice chambers. I don't even know how you'd load one, much less light it and hit it without the help of like three other dudes more if they hit it first.
True.
Double damn.
As electric guitar necks covered with condoms started to perk out through each of the skull's glory holes, Agatha shoved Daryl's head in the toilet and gave him the swirly that would change the direction of his life and indeed all life on Megathule. Despite Megathule's strict, if it's yellow, let it mellow ordinance, there was nothing yellow about what was in that bowl. Nay! What the bowl contained was viscous, green, concentrated leavings of the finest, most dignity Dankosaurus Rex downtown, Danky Brown, Dirk Dizzard, Danky Kong, Fooey, Wizardweed, known to man, Catman, or Man-Cat.
Danky Kong.
We are in outer space right now.
When Daryl looked up, his head soaked with the sticky liquid residue of 280-proof distilled wizard weed concentrate, he learned that he was no longer in the re-education center, but had been magically transported to the top of the revered and feared Volcano Steve.
Damn.
Oh, shit. Standing nearby was Agatha, who in the light of day was looking more banging than ever before, especially since Daryl was now tripping fucking balls. So, said Agatha, the memories came crashing into Daryl's brain, forgotten oaths and sacred promises, now recalled with the help of the wizard weed concentrate coursing through his veins. That, said Daryl, that was the diggity dong dankest Doobie Brothers ooh black water keep on rolling. Dank and wait, dis anky dank dirk dankiness danky dog dank.
I always latch on to one of them. That one was keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling, yeah, keep on rolling.
Yep. And I, he continued, I am no whiny, socially conscious singer-songwriter Daryl. Mm-hmm. I'm the loosest dude this side of the shredding plains. I'm the party-hardy Barney, baby. I am Brosif.
Whoa!
Dude, he's going through some changes right now.
God damn.
As he spoke, the Volcano Steve rumbled beneath his feet, responding to the forgotten herald of the groove, Brosif himself. Agatha took a knee, but not in a sexually subservient way, more like in a way you might show respect for someone you consider an equal. Mm-hmm. Hail Brosif, she shouted, yeah, while waggling her fingers and tugging a totally rad, but again, not sexually demeaning fashion. As Brosif took stock of the changed world around him, ruminating on how extreme Megathule is, and yet how much more extreme it might become, Agatha once again loosened her robes. Damn titty. The Volcano Steve groaned as his mouth spread like one of those skanky minotaurs who just go trolling for any centaur they can find.
Oh
on
my god. Again
god
with
damn.
This.
Cannon. Out of the mouth of the Volcano Steve rose an electric guitar so badass that it could only be fully appreciated in the fifth dimension.
Jesus.
Thankfully, Brosif now had enough wizardry concentrate in his brain that he could only appreciate things in the fourth dimension or higher anyways. Mm. He stepped forward, grasped the neck of the guitar, then quickly but gently removed the condom placed over its neck. As Brosif tuned the guitar, his wakened mind dreaming of the badassery he, as the prophet of the Volcano Steve, would unleash upon Megathule, he began to sing a song not heard on Megathule in generations.
Oh, God.
With a clear voice, as badass as it was beautiful, he sang, hey, 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 smoke wizard weed every day. As he repeated the refrain, Agatha began casting a spell of eldritch powers. The Volcano Steve belched and shook, green lava oozing out its mouth, which is still mumbling about Agatha's tit-tat. And Agatha summoned up a smaller opening on the side of the Volcano Steve, which she quickly covered with her hand as sparkling smoke crept out twixt her fingers. Agatha spoke, somebody smoking that dank!
I knew it was coming.
Glanced at Brosif, and he knew exactly what he must do. And also, that after completing his communion with the Volcano Steve, he was totally getting laid and getting paid. Brosif struck the most decadent, debauched minor chord imaginable, calling up ever more bodacious rumbling from the Volcano Steve. He kept the reverb going as he knelt by the new opening, and then working a vicious wah-wah pedal with one foot and doing high kicks with the other.
Damn.
Broseph placed his mouth over the volcano opening, revealing the Volcano Steve's true form. A colossal lava bomb.
Oh my god.
As the lava bomb Steve rumbled, smoke from Wizard Weed groaned and first burnt in the center of the earth itself, shotgunned down Broseph's throat. As if he was some type of minotaur on a first date.
These minotaurs!
Lay off the minotaurs, man.
With his lungs full, his eyes watering, and his peen rock hard enough to balance an entire keg of mead, Broseph stood up, ready to unleash a whole new era of awesome upon Megathul. Impressed with his ability to hold in such a righteous rip from the lava bong Steve, Hagatha went to Broseph's side and whispered in his ear Megathul's other sacred motto. Gas, grass, and ass.
Damn.
But as Broseph began to slowly let the smoke fermented for thousands of years beneath the crust of the earth out through his nostrils, something horrific happened. He coughed.
Oh no.
Broseph coughed his goddamn brains out as blood vessels in his eyes burst and his chest heaved as he struggled to take in oxygen. Meanwhile, Hagatha, startled by Broseph's lack of testicular fortitude, stepped back and looked on in horror as Broseph's coughing turned to hacking, turned to dry heaving, turned to outright ralphing
on
the side of the lava bong Steve. Struggling to catch his breath, tears streaming down his face, kneeling in a pile of his own yakety yak, Broseph spoke. I don't know what happened. I do, Hagatha said sadly, shaking her head in time with the increased angry rumblings of the lava bong Steve. You couldn't handle your shit, nerd.
Damn!
Wow. And as Hagatha flicked Broseph in his floppy little baby dick, the lava bong Steve erupted like a cheap centaur in a re-education center stall. Ashes blotted out the sky and lava poured down the volcano Steve, burning all of Megathul, even the gleaming capital of Poundtown, to cinders, like unto a cashed-out bowl of wizard weed. Where a moment before there was only the righteous shredding and echoing refrain of, hey, 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 smoke wizard weed every day. Now there were only the cries of men, women, and children alike, burning alive in the knowledge that their death was guaranteed by a man too weak, too craven, too despicable to handle his goddamn shit like a fucking grown-up.
Is this story about me?
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Let me finish. What? No.
Oh, no. Life imitating art.
But the destruction wasn't complete yet. Nay. As the corrosive lava miraculously avoided the weak-ass prophet Broseph and the bitchin' and witchin' Hagatha, the lava bong Steve puked up the foundational bedrock of Megathul itself, likened to that Nance Broseph puking up I don't even know what, because all he had was some wizard weird weed and, like, one beer. What was even in his stomach? It could be ralphed up not once, but, like, again later on.
Oh, my God, this is about Tom.
If he didn't,
this is about
what?
Me!
No. This is a story.
This is about Megathul.
It's Broseph. I don't...
Okay.
If it had ended there... Megathul might have been reclaimed in the distant future, a shining beacon of radness built upon the wreckage of the past. But nay, such a fate was prevented through the weakness of Broseph. The island's foundational bedrock was so damaged that the glorious civilization of Megathul sank beneath the waves, burying its millions of totally cool dudes and bitchin' broads in two graves. The first of molten lava, and the second of unforgiving, dark, frigid waters.
Shit, man.
Legalize it.
I'm just saluting over here. You can't see it.
Holy I'm just saluting. Shit. Holy shit. All right.
Oh my god. Aubrey's kind of a good writer.
Yeah, that was really fucking amazing. That was amazing. That was great.
So what was your inspiration for this, Dale?
Yeah.
I've been reading Elric lately, and he's like, Elric is like this albino sorcerer, like emperor of this like lost and like decadent society. And also I've kind of always like the name Megathul, it's a reference to Ultima Thule, which was like, it was kind of like an Atlantean myth of like a wonderful civilization that sort of sunk to the earth in decadence.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Atlantis?
No.
No?
No, that shit's made up, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Prove it to me.
Prove it to me.
Can't.
Let's
prove
go.
It. You can.
Let's go.
Can't.
Let's go. Can't prove it. You got places to be.
Pause the podcast. We got to go to Atlantis.
Well, that was a great story, man.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, I got to say, you brought WW up to the next level.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks, bro. What, Wizard We?
Yeah, man.
That's what WW
the Diggity
is.
Dank Dank Dong Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers.
Keep on
Black
rolling. Water,
keep on
rolling.
Rolling. are you ready for a tale of witches and jailbreaks?
Yes!
I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready.
Yes!
I'm ready,
yes!
I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready.
Yes!
Well, this story is called Folder Doom Keep.
Shit, man.
Pretty neat name, I'd say so. The following tale has been funded by the Orcspire prison system to educate young creatures of Orcspire on why doing certain things are bad and you shouldn't do them, or else you could end up like this. Fade up on 100 guitars soloing at once. Fuck yeah! There's some double bass back drums. As the camera flies throughout Orcspire when finally arriving at Folder Doom Keep, the most badass wizard prison in all of Orcspire. The security was tight. Each guard was armed with a crossbow with magic ice arrows, battle axe with magic fire enchants, and at least 2 long sticks for poking prisoners when you were sitting down and didn't want to get up. Yep, life was hell. The prisoners had their wrists bound with anti-magic shackles, so yeah, even their magic was kind of like in a magic prison. A warlock and necromancer.
What a metaphor.
I'm sorry. It took me that long to wrap my brain around what you were saying. Can you read it again? Can you read the part about the prisons within prisons?
The prisoners had their wrists bound with anti-magic shackles. So yeah, even their magic was in like a kind of a magic prison.
That's fucked.
I like how we just rewinded the story.
Well, no, I wanted to think about it. So, like, I felt like I needed a little bit of extra time.
Yeah. Kind of need to think about my stories.
Let it sink in a little bit.
Yeah.
A warlock and necromancer sat in a cell together. "What are you in for?" asked the necromancer. "I sacrificed a small village in a dark ritual to open a portal to the demon realm where I sold bootleg battle keg t-shirts."
Fuck.
"Oh my God,"
said the warlock. "Life sentence for dealing unlicensed BK merch." "Damn," said the necromancer. Then he looked around the cell.
I thought that was an automatic death sentence. Why is that guy still alive?
Dude. Because death is too good.
It's too good, yeah. That's getting off easy.
You gotta
easy.
Live with it now.
You need like layers upon layers of magic prisons for that.
Well, in Orcspire, if you wrong BK, people are like, "Whoa, there's the motherfucker that tried to sell bootleg battle keg shit," and then you just get beat up. So he's gotta live
there
with that.
There it is.
There it is.
"Damn," said the necromancer. Then he looked around the cell. "Gods, this is boring. I'm out of here," he continued. And he grabbed his face with both hands and pulled his skin apart from his skeleton body entirely. Then his skeleton, which was now thin enough to walk through the magical bars, did so and danced out of the prison as he yelled to the rest of the prisoners, "Meet me in Grawl City, boys!" "Yep, this ain't your mama's wizard prison."
What were those like?
Dude, you don't want to know, but they aren't your mom's. In another cell, a few prisoners were planning a breakout. They had notes, maps, and pretty good drawings of the Van Halen logo laid out all over the table. There was a quiet debate going on when suddenly a goblin slammed his hands down on the table. "There's only one way out of this prison," spoke the goblin. Then he turned to the corner and began to J.O. feverishly.
Shit.
The other wizards were intently watching for a while until one spoke up. "Hey! He's just masturbating." The goblin turned his head and yelled, "This is my escape!"
Then this went is back my to escape work.
That's amazing.
And yeah, a tear rolled down the cheek of everyone in that cell.
Wait, do we know why the goblin was in jail?
Well, he's a wizard too.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's up to some naughty shit.
Yeah, well, he's, you know.
He was
this
upskirting.
Is his escape. He J-Zo'd to escape.
Yeah, yeah.
Mentally. Some wizards were doing time in the yard for being bad boys, and they'd break rocks all day in search of rave rubies.
Mm-hmm.
The suns were sweltering, so to take their mind off the heat, they'd sing working songs that went a little like this. "Let me get up in your prison, baby. Sentence my dick to life.
Shit,
my
man.
Injection can be lethal, baby. I'm gonna make you my wizard prison wife.
That's beautiful.
And we're gonna have a little baby. And you're gonna raise that little baby. And that baby's gonna break me out of this wizard prison.
Damn.
Baby breaking me out tonight.
That was me and Queenie's first dance as man and wife.
Oh, was wife? It?
Yeah. That song.
That's a good choice.
Something told me.
Something told me. I just knew. I looked in your
you
eyes.
Guys
I
can't hear it, but I'm crying.
Yeah, I can hear it. Cut to the prison weight room. Loud music is playing. Prisoners were saying bad words. And at any moment, you knew that dudes could just start making out because why the fuck not?
Yep.
Prison, bitch.
Dude. This is like Texas prison.
It's like Oz.
Yeah, right?
It's a lot like Oz.
It's a lot like Oz.
Yeah. You can't see it, but there's so much dick.
Yeah.
These were the prison wizards your mama warned you about. Dudes were lifting weights and getting swole as fuck, covered in jailhouse tattoos of skulls, lightning skulls, skulls on fire, riding motorcycles, and big titties. Yep, dudes just had tats and dope-ass hangers chilling on their ribs. And guess what? Mama ain't gonna tell them no.
That's right, that's right. Oh my god.
There was one wizard who stood out from the rest because, you guessed it, he had cool mutton chops. Also, he was the buffest. His name was Tony Two-Cut, the former prestigious warlock, and his body was so tight, he had a team of goblin muscle massagers that tended to his wizardly pecs at all times. Their names were Flip, Clip, and Bip. And you'll never hear about them ever again.
Oh,
thank God.
We got two distinct opinions on the matter here.
Leave a comment. Tony.
You decide. Fantasy fiction, you decide. Dip and what is it? Chip?
Bip.
To hear more about the goblins, turn
you
to page 9.
You were supposed to never hear about them ever again.
Fuck that. You're hearing about them, goddammit.
Tony was wearing a loincloth and a sick purple robe with tough-ass stars and moons on it.
Cool.
He laid down on the bench. The room got
Wait,
quiet.
Were the stars and moons themselves tough, or just the arrangements of them?
Both.
Okay.
You looked at it and you were like, whoa, tough guy.
Cool. Into it.
He laid down on the bench. The room got quiet and watched. Suddenly, Tony started repping like 100 to 700 reps, like a goddamn madman. He then stood up. All sorts of crazy hunky steam was coming off of him. He walked up to the gated window, put his hands on the bars, and looked out to the setting suns. The rest of the muscle men waited as if they knew something awesome was about to happen. There's only one way to get out of this prison, said Tony as one of the setting suns dipped behind a mountain. Two-Cut focused on the mountain's peak where there was a silhouette flailing its arms about. Super awesome zoom-in shot where we fly through everything on our way to the silhouette and reveal that it is a baby witch.
Ow! Oh,
with
shit.
With a floating magic ball performing some sort of curse. She chanted the spell's most evil runes. Oh, yeah. Wanna be my lover.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wanna be my lover.
That's beautiful. That was really good.
Thanks.
There are eldritch magics in those words.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Atavistic power courses through them.
Suddenly.
Suddenly.
Tony's eyes began to glow as his feet left the ground, floating in midair. Arms still holding onto the bars, Tony exclaimed, "The only way out of this prison is by lifting your way out."
What?
Oh my god.
And Tony Two-Cut, the man who devoted his prison life to getting buff because he couldn't use magic spells anymore, mm-hmm. began to magically bench press the entire wall of the weight room, shaking it back and forth with each rep. Dudes lost their shit. One guy got so excited, he exploded. No one cares.
I'm liable to explode. That's how excited I am. Man,
no one cared.
The other walls of Folder Doom Keep began to break apart. Guards stormed the weight room to stop Tony, but they were met by a crowd of amped-up, buff-ass wizards ready for a prison fight. No shanks necessary, no holds barred, and no fucks given.
Damn right.
There were many deaths, but it bought Two Cut just enough time. On the final rep to break the wall off of the gym, he began to struggle, and his spotter began to yell, "Come on, pussy! Go, go, go!" And it totally annoyed everyone else in the gym, but it got the job done. The wall flew the fuck off the prison, and all the wizards hightailed it to Daranos.
Jesus! There's no extradition in Daranos.
No, you just get over there. We're not allowed over there.
Yeah, they're just like, whatever.
Why would you want to?
Oh, whoa.
Fuck them. That's what I say.
It's a lot, Daranos is a lot sexier of a place.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
people get fucked to death over there.
Yeah, like a lot.
I know all about it.
It's a gamble.
I heard a fair bit about it.
I heard here. A fair amount of fucking to death. Sex murder is the highest it's been in decades.
Sex murder rates on the rise.
Skyrocketing.
Tony Two Cut ran as fast as he could to the mountain where the witch had cast her spell, and there she was, waiting under the full moon. Yep, they boned.
Nice.
The end.
Yeah. Dom, that was a great fucking story.
Yeah.
That was
like,
great.
Like, I feel like after you, thank you.
That's the best ending.
Boning. To a prison story. Yeah.
Just fucking.
The hero gets to get any some story. Sex.
Mm-hmm. He just got out of jail. Of course he's going to bone. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
I would say that's a number one in anyone's book is having sex.
Yeah. I get out of like church and I want to bone. I don't go to church. I lied about that.
Okay, I go to church to bone. Get at me.
Wow.
Do something.
After I'm done boning, I just got to bone.
Thank you, everyone, again for listening to yet another episode, and I want to say thank you to Aubrey for joining us on the show.
Hey, boys, thanks for having me. It was a stone cold blast.
It was a very good pleasure, sir. It was awesome. It was great. I loved it.
I said this in the break, but I'm going to say it right now. You brought a very different tone to the show, and we had a lot of fun.
Hey, yeah, thanks, man. I enjoyed. I hope I could come back someday. How about that?
More than welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But hey, speaking of Aubrey, your wife has a soap and beard oil company. That
she does. She makes all kinds of all natural body products. It's called Anons. A-E-N-O-N-N-A-E-N. I've been drinking. A-N-O-N-S.com. Anons.com.
Yeah. I just got a bar of soap because she's just started selling
Which
soap.
Type of soap was it?
I got the charcoal.
Oh, the activated charcoal.
And I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, I've got dry skin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. I'm Irish.
We live in this fucking desert, man.
We do
it's hard
live
not
in a dry-ass desert.
That's true.
We get all dry.
I use Dove. It's expensive.
It's also got all the sorts of chemicals and stuff in it, too. All the ingredients and whatnot.
I used the charcoal bar that you gave me. No lotion necessary.
That shit rules, man.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
I don't get that too much in Los Angeles.
I have to, like, I use her soaps, but I still have to use lotion just because I'm a super dry guy in desert. But she started making lotions and stuff, too.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't realize
like
that.
Yeah, like shea-based lotions.
Oh, man, that's
men
sweet.
And ladies. Yeah,
ooh,
no.
Men and ladies.
Yeah, they're dope. Look at this. Like, I need to start using it. Look at that. Look how dry I get.
Wow.
You guys can't see.
I can't see it
dry.
Either.
Yeah, you can imagine.
I'm imagining. Is it your elbow?
What? Nah, my elbow's okay right now. It's this weird thing on my knuckle. Queenie's keeps shipping out all of the, because it's so popular, people
yeah.
She keeps shipping out the lotion instead of giving me some to use.
She's
fresh.
She's being a good business person instead of a good wife.
Yeah, instead of taking care of her husband, her dusty ass
skeleton husband.
But the next day, I used the Dove bar.
What, just as a test?
I was like, you know what? Let me see
compare.
What's going on here. What,
yeah.
Is it the new? I just moved into a new place. I'm like, is it the water pressure? What is it?
Yeah.
Dove bar. I was dry as fuck when I stepped out of that.
Oh,
shower.
That shit dries your ass out, man.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna start using this natural stuff. It's real good. And if you guys want to check out the site and buy some stuff, Josh, you just got some beard oil, didn't you?
Yeah. I've been using the Wolf. I love it. If you have a beard and you don't like condition or oil your beard, you're missing out. You're a crazy person and you need to start doing it. You're a god. You turn into a god man.
I never did when I had my beard and it was dry as fuck.
Yep.
I wish I had a beard. Just
it's all
so
crusty
could,
and like yeah. sticking out places and everything. Mm-mm. Can I interject something I'm really excited about?
Sure.
It doesn't really work for me because I already got this big old beard on me, but
Shorty got a big old butt. Hell yeah.
what's it called? Yeah, there's a new beard starter kit. Because a lot of people don't like growing beards because it gets all itchy while they're growing it out. And the beard starter kit comes with, you know, it comes with a raven, which is the lightest beard oil. Mm-hmm. But it also comes with a scrub that's got tea tree oil and, like, crushed walnuts.
Oh, my God. You put tea tree oil on anything and you feel amazing. It's so, it's awesome.
It's got the crushed walnuts, which helps to exfoliate so you don't get all itchy and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Hairs and whatnot. Yeah.
Like, that tempts me to grow a beard, because that's the worst part of growing a beard, is, like, that first 2 weeks.
I love it.
Yeah, and use that fucking... We'll get you some.
I'm addicted to it. I need it.
I'm gonna look cool, guys. But if you guys want to check out the site and check out some of the products, which clearly we all like, you can use a promo code for this week. It's FantasyFic. You'll get 15% off.
Nice job.
Check it out, guys. And, guys, if you have a beard and you've never conditioned it, do yourself a favor, get this oil, and you will smell like a man. That's as Aubrey once put it to me, it smells like you just went and chopped down a tree.
Yeah.
It smells camphorous.
Camphorous. That's awesome.
Once again, it's AENONS.com. Promo code FANTASYFIC.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you guys want to leave a review on our iTunes page, feel free to do that. I will read one right now.
Do it.
The title is Highlight of My Week by Possum Poff. It says, a podcast so good, it'll make you sing, this is my favorite podcast, baby, baby. I can't wait for next Monday so I can hear another song sung by Goofy Skeleton or something. It's super good, y'all. So that's by Possum Pop. Thank you very much for giving us a very positive review. And
yeah, thanks so much review. For that. Yeah, and Josh, that was a good rendition.
Yeah, thanks.
But thank you for leaving a review. Thank you to everyone who's left a review. But if you have a moment, go ahead and do that. It really helps out the show. And we have prompts for next week, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing sea monsters. Finally.
Good Lord.
It's been suggested a lot, but this time it's been suggested by my good friend Joe Hirschman and also Michael Webster on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to sea monsters, we'll be doing hobgoblins, suggested by at Connor P. Turcott on Twitter. So thank you guys so much. We're going to do sea monsters and hobgoblins. Don't forget to check out Straight Shoot later today if you're listening on Monday. Or even if you're not listening on Monday, Aubrey uploads them all to YouTube immediately afterwards. So if you want to hear three big idiots.
Two big idiots.
That's okay. True. That's true.
Don't say that about Josh.
I thought you were. That's very nice of you.
Two big idiots to yell about big muscly men and which one we like the most.
Yep.
Roman Reigns. It's Roman Reigns.
Check out Straight Shoot. You can find his YouTube channel at youtube.com/AubreyRex. I'll put it in the show notes. And remember, what time do we start? It's immediately after Raw.
It's immediately after, whenever the fuck Raw feels like ending because of the overrun. So it's around 11 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. So we'll go live. But like Don said, it lives on the YouTube page. I upload the audio. Head to AubreyCitterson.com and you can find links to all this stuff.
Yep. It's also on iTunes where you can find it too.
Of course.
And guys, this is going to be probably the biggest Raw of the year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are a lot of people who say that the Raw after Mania is actually kind of a bigger deal than Mania because
these
new storylines start and the crowd's always really hot because it's like the most hardcore people who flew in from out of town. It's historically a really big deal. I'm looking forward to it.
I think we might get a big surprise. Who knows? I don't know.
I'm ready.
I hope so.
I love surprises.
I don't always.
Depends.
I always love a surprise.
Change scares me.
Challenge me. Challenge that.
Challenge me.
But thanks again, everyone, for listening. And until next week, Aubrey, you wanna do the honors?
Do the honors.
Keep on wizarding.
Beautiful.
Josh, say it. You gotta say it.
Keep on wizarding.
Straight shoot.
Thanks again, everyone. See you next week.
Ow!
Bye.